You know you belong together, little big pod forever. You're talking on air. Nathan has weird hair. From the very first moment I heard you, I never felt such emotion. From talking on air, I said no, you are there. So hold me in your arms and let me go. I wanna stay forever, closer each day. Graham and Nate.
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Hello.
1, 2. Stay with me here now.
Are you feeling nervous over there?
No, I'm just a little bit annoyed.
Why are you annoyed?
Because the computer, it's a new computer in here.
New password.
And I've had to log into a different account, and now I can't log into my Gmail.
I have big news for the podcast. I edited the entry for the Radio Awards. We are entering this podcast, Graham and Nathan's Little Big Podcast. If you don't know, we have decided on the Chris Green episode.
I don't think we'll get nominated.
Nope.
No offense to Chris Green. I think it's absolutely hilarious. It's our funniest of the year. But I don't know if it'll be what they're looking for.
Because you have to think of the other podcasts that are being entered into it. But look, we're happy with the entry and we'll let you know if we do get nominated. Speaking about Chris Green, our guest today, cut from the same cloth.
Yeah, definitely. I have to install Zoom. Are you joking me? No, here we go. Okay, it's actually quicker than I was expecting. Once you install Zoom client, click link meeting below. Open Zoom.
You sorted out this person.
Not like me.
You DM'd him on Instagram.
Not like me at all.
He seemed excited.
Yes. He actually said, any podcast that Chris Green has been on, I'd be delighted to be on.
Oh, jeez, I'm nervous.
Join with computer audio. Here we go.
David Duke.
Here we go. Okay. We are here now.
And we have the camera.
Will you introduce me? We need a better studio.
Can we do what we do with Keith Barry?
What's that?
Where I get to say hi. I'll walk around to the camera and wave.
You can do whatever you want. It's your podcast, man.
No, man. It's our podcast.
It's your podcast. It's not mine. It's not my podcast.
Welcome. Welcome the guest.
It's your podcast.
Welcome the guest.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Mr. David Duke.
Oh, baby.
Yes. Now, I'd like to ask you straight off the bat, David. Is it Dave, David, and is it Duke or Duke?
All four. When you combine Dave and Duke, that's the way I say it.
Duke.
But I'll take Duke. At home, of course, I'm David. And there's a couple of friends from school that refuse to call me Dave, particularly one who despises it. Hates it, hearing it on the radio, hates me saying Dave. Very peculiar. So Dave Duke, I'll take either.
Duke. For some reason, I thought in my head it was Duke with a hard D, but you're a Connacht man like myself, and it would be very unusual to have a hard D. It's very much a Duke. But Nathan,
introduce me. Because I'm kind of nervous. This is like Blind Date. We are reenacting an old episode of Cilla Black, God rest her soul, but you are the host. And Davey boy is behind the sliding door.
Oh, yeah, so I have to introduce you.
You introduce me.
Well, this is frankly because our studio isn't hooked up well enough to have two cameras. And as you can see, Dave, the camera that is here, the microphone arm is blocking half my face. So we are still back in 2005 here with your lovely lighted room. But
say that Dave went for number two.
Dave went for number two. He was the tall man who is scared of heights and women and people who smoke. It is Nathan O'Reilly. Now you are blocking your face.
Oi. I still can't see his face. Nathan, how tall are you?
Dave, it's a bloody honour to be staring at you right now. I'm 6'5". 6'5" wow. On a good day. Jesus Christ, this camera, guys. Can we work on it?
So bad.
This is so shit.
See, I can move. See, Dave. Oh, God. I was actually going to get the camera and try to show you what we have without realising it was the camera itself that I was trying to show you. So how would you be able to see the camera? I can move it to the side here.
Look, I just want to say, We are so excited to have you, Dave. Can you see?
Do you know what?
Can you leave it where it is? I think it's nice.
You know what? We're better off doing it in our bedroom.
So say to Dave, Graham, whenever we have a guest, you like to ask their name and their occupation.
Well, let them introduce themselves. Dave, who are you? What do you do? What the hell are you doing in your life?
My name is Dave Duke. I'm a radio presenter, broadcaster, DJ, and Leitrim man. And after that, the titles get muddled. But I adore the medium of radio, and I adore entertaining and annoying people in equal measure.
I just want to say, for the record, I've told Dave this on Instagram when we were messaging during the week. I've wanted to get you on for... Oh, Jesus Christ.
Man, stop with the camera.
This camera.
It's held together by...
How good is Dave's microphone? Is that in your bedroom, Dave?
Yeah, so I've got the best investment I made in the last 12 months is a Rodecaster Pro and a Shure SM7B, and it has changed my life.
What does that mean to you, Nathan? As a man who has been in broadcasting for 7 years, surely those words and letters mixed together mean something to someone so technical as yourself.
Yes, Dave, I have to say that is what I expected from you. I invested in a Sennheiser microphone 76B 69 Plus. And I felt that the audio...
The 69 Plus.
Yes. Don't get me started about the 69 minus, Dave. That was an absolute waste of money. But I have to say, your audio is incredible. You've put the hand in the wallet and it's done you good.
Credit union. Like, people look at me and I drive an Audi car and they go, oh, he's making great money now at iRadio. He's great and making great money. It's all finance, lads. I am broke every single 2 weeks and I get paid monthly.
Do you know what? It's funny you say Audi. I'm going to bring it on. I haven't talked about this on the podcast.
Go on.
I've had previous problems with cars and I documented it a couple of years ago. For long time listeners of the Little Big Podcast realise I had an arm wrestle with a very big German car company in regards to some with the engine. But I moved to a different German car company recently.
Oh.
Audi, like yourself. In and around what year is your car? I don't want to reveal too much of your car. It could be a private thing because I've got a question about it.
No, 2012.
So I'm a 13. Do you have leather seats?
Semi. Leather seats.
Have you found it very difficult to drive with the leather seats? Cutting to the chase, I drove down from Dublin to Lewisburg there 2 weeks ago. I couldn't move for 3 days. My back was fucking killing me, Dave. Have you had any similar problems or is it just me?
No, I haven't. My girlfriend has a Scirocco. And I could never drive a Scirocco because the seats in that, whatever's about them, they're racing / bucket seats, terrible. The seats I have, they're adjustable, half leather, half suede. They don't get too hot in the sunshine. They don't get too cold in the winter. They're just a perfect combination. So I'm sorry you're having German car troubles with your seats.
Well, I will say my original car, now that I've gotten rid of it, was a Scirocco.
That's
and it
mad.
Was so comfortable.
Oh,
and when I got
really?
When I got the Audi... And I was selling the Scirocco and I was driving it to give someone a test drive in it. And I had a few days in the Audi. I was like, oh my God, the Scirocco is so much more comfortable than the Audi. Because I know what you're talking about with the racer bucket seats. But for me, because I'm only a small lad, Dave, I fit in
yes,
nicely.
I'm a chunky boy. See these hips like.
Oh, you have a great arse, Dave.
Oh, you love arses. So you do.
You have
From
a great arse.
I've heard over many podcasts, I knew my arse would come up. And look at this.
Show us your arse there.
Ah, that's honey to a bear, Dave. You can't be wearing those sort of jeans and expect me not to comment.
These aren't even my tight jeans. These are my loose jeans. Like, my arse in, like, really... I can't wear skinny jeans because it's crimes against humanity.
Dave is standing up now and he is pulling his jeans to make them tighter and showing us his arse right beside the microphone. I'm expecting it to give us a song.
Oh, a song?
Arse. Your arse would give us a song. Not you. Don't worry. It was right beside the microphone. I was expecting it to toot.
Lads, can we, before we go any further, and this has been eating me up since the very first day I met you. Met you in a hotel in Dublin, one of these junkets where you go to interview a celebrity. It was Niall Horan. It was the first time meeting both of you. I'd heard a lot about the both of you. And the first introduction, I looked you straight in the eye and you said to me, Graham, oh, Dave, and I never said your name back. It was the most arrogant thing I've ever done in a first introduction. And then Nathan shook hands with you and then just ran out the door and didn't see for months afterwards. And then the pandemic hit, because this was February 2020. And that has eaten me up, that the first introduction was so dickish from me. So apologies
and you know
to
what?
Both of you.
We have held on to that the last 15 months.
It's driven us.
And it's got us right down during the pandemic. And that's the reason you're here today, to confront you about that, Dave. We're not happy about it at all. But thank you for bringing it up.
It was an utter dick move, because we were starving. We thought we had loads of time, but of course we never leave each other enough time to do the stuff we want to do. We're like, we have to go eat now. We'll talk to you possibly never. So apologies about that.
Oh, don't be silly.
Do you accept it? I don't know if I believe him.
He just danced for us in his bedroom. Is that your bedroom, Dave?
This is a spare room.
So who are you living with?
The missus in Athlone. Okay.
How long have you been living with each other for?
When she listens back to this, she'll kill me. 2.5 years. So she works directly across from the studios. And I mean, when I go into the boardroom of the studios, I can look across at her workplace.
And you shake your arse at her across the windows. Give her a little bit of, maybe for lunchtime. Something tasty.
We're on a main road. There's a lot of children walking by.
Right.
Exposure.
Gotta be careful.
Yeah. Especially in the media industry with indecent exposure and all that crack, you've got to be really careful.
So we got sidetracked there, but this is a good thing, because I said to you, Dave, don't plan anything. Tangents are encouraged. But I want to go back to messaging yourself. And I was down in Mayo, had horrible back pain in the new Audi. I'm slowly getting it better, but don't worry about that. But the only thing about getting in the car, which I enjoyed, was listening to Dave and Fionnuala on iRadio. Yeah. And I'm not just saying that because I've been wanting to get you on the podcast for a while. Dara Quilty is a massive fan of you as well. He thinks you're a very, very gifted broadcaster and technically gifted as well. You did an interview before about Appella, I believe it was, and he said you did a fantastic job on the edit, which a lot of people listening going, God, you're such fucking nerds. But to radio people, doing a good edit is a high compliment. But I was listening to your show and I think it's absolutely fantastic. What you're doing on that show is brilliant. And you did say about, I presume you're a fan of Chris Green, because you said there any podcast that Chris Green has been on. Well, there is shades of Chris Green coming out of you, Dave. You'll be happy to know. You might know it yourself, but my God, listening to it, you're the next incarnation of Chris Green and iRadio.
Lads, I cannot tell you how much Chris and Kira done for me in radio. And for those that aren't familiar with iRadio, i102, 104, i105, 107... And I heard you saying this too as well before, Graham. Before iRadio and i102, 104 and i105, 107 in the Northwest, there was nothing for us. Remember, we had dial-up barely, where it took half an hour to see a nipple and then your grandmother would catch you and that'd be it. So all you had to go to was radio. And Chris and Kira, for me, I honestly cannot say I would be in radio without the two of them. And I've never got to tell them publicly, privately, face to face, but them to me means so much, and they're one of the big reasons I'm in radio is because of the two of them. So to hear that there's shades of Chris Green in me, I take that as a massive compliment. I think I'm somewhere between Chris Morris, Chris Green, and a little bit of Dylan Moran thrown in there, which I get compared to a few times, oddly.
I would also say a sprinkle of Bob Dylan. There's something about you. recently turned 80, I think, the other day. So happy birthday, Bob. Cheers, I know he Bob. Likes to listen to the podcast.
Happy birthday, Bob. By the way, only in my late 20s, for anyone listening, because another thing is people think I'm a lot older than I actually am. Whatever way I come across, I don't know, is it the... Obviously, it's the voice when it's with radio. But I've had people in nightclubs years ago come up and touch my face to make sure it was me and then speak words to them. And they're like, it is you. And I'm like, yes, I'm not 70 years of age. I am this man.
So, Dave, how long have you been doing the show for on iRadio?
So the show that we're on now, 3 to 6, iRadio in the Afternoon with Dave and Fionnuala.
Woo!
That is January 2019 we started. And we were shite for the first year, and I have no bones in saying that we were.
We thought we were doing good. We were shit on Breakfast. We listen back to our first year on Breakfast now, and I cringe. It was horrendous.
Isn't that weird? Because this was all I ever wanted, was drive time on iRadio. Ever since I was a little boy, it was nighttime first, done that, then daytime. Got there, and then shit a brick. I didn't know what I was doing. And you know what's more frustrating than not having the ability? Is knowing that you have the ability, but not being able to perform. It's like, I'm able to score that goal, but why do I keep kicking the ball 700 yards the other side of the goal? So the first year was shit. Second year, the pandemic hit and the show completely changed in the pandemic. I think the lockdowns, I think it's helped radio in a bit. Advertising, monetary, it's probably damaged it a good bit. But the way we work, the way we put the show together, the listener is first. It has totally changed. So from January to 2019 to now, and long may it continue.
Dave, always interested to hear about people who were put together in a duo, because myself and Nathan, we met in college, we were friends before, we were working in radio together, so we found it very easy to just get on with each other. We know what the next person is going to say without them even saying it. What was it like being put with Fionnuala? Did she do anything on the nighttime show, or was it just on Drive you were put together?
Just on Drive. So Gary told me that he was leaving. Gary Curran, great time for Gary, and I haven't seen him enough since he's left. He told me a few months before he was leaving that he was leaving from, it was originally called The Lift and now it's iRadio in the afternoon, but it's 3 to 6. So he was leaving 3 to 6, and he told me, and I thought I'd be in for a shout with it, for it, and he thought the same. And Fionnuala has been there, and she's went through a lot of men, Fionnuala. In fairness to her, she's chewed them up and spat them out. So put with Fionnuala, that was the first time we worked together. And it was peculiar because Fionnuala reads the news, and she's head of current affairs, news and current affairs. So she has this very serious side to her, and she's reading the news during the show. And she's also meant to be your co-presenter and your bit of crack and what do you think of this story? So that dynamic was very peculiar. And I think that's one of the reasons for the first year that it's not that we didn't fully gel, but we were still dancing around each other. Mm-hmm. Left foot in, left foot out. Oh, wait, we've hit feet there. Whereas for ye, maybe since you're the Hamish and Andy of Irish radio.
Oh, stop.
Continue.
No, but...
Don't stop there. I say continue.
I love both of you and what you've done for the radio industry. It cannot be under or overestimated. I don't know which phrase is there, but it's a compliment. Yeah, it was very peculiar, but I feel that we have each other's backs massively now. I have massive trust in Fionnuala. I hope Fionnuala has trust in me. She knows that if we're going in a certain direction in the show, that I'm not going to set her up for a fall. She is an extremely intelligent person, unbelievably hardworking. I've said this on air many times. There is no one more intelligent in iRadio than Fionnuala. Sorry, iRadio co-workers, but you know this already.
Sharon Linsky won't be happy.
I've told her to her face. I was like, Sharon, look, I love you. You're a fantastic broadcaster. But look at Fionnuala and her intelligence. She's got brains to burn. She's too good. She's too good for Irish radio. BBC, she's... too good for them. That's how much I think of Fionnuala.
David, I saw a video the other day of you eating a bowl of coleslaw. I'd like to hear just your thoughts on coleslaw. Are we a fan?
Fuck coleslaw.
Oh, okay.
Sorry to be so brash.
Yeah,
there's a big headlines coming out of this podcast
right
now.
I'm poking the bear.
Big headlines.
I have to say, just be careful. I don't know if you realize your words carry weight. This podcast charted at number, I think, 164 over the weekend. The comedy charts, we're delighted about that.
Get in.
So where do you stand with coleslaw? Why do you hate it so much? Please, discuss.
It's an abomination, and it starts with the base. Mayonnaise, what is it? I know the ingredients, but what is it?
Well, it's actually disgusting. Now, I'm not saying our producer, Callum, hates mayonnaise. He'll send back a sandwich if it comes out with mayonnaise when he asks for no mayonnaise. I don't mind it, but when you break it down, egg and vinegar?
Yeah.
They don't seem like two things that would go together, so I can understand people who don't like mayonnaise.
But let's be gentlemen here and
of course
reveal that mayonnaise does act as a sort of lubricant for the roll. If you don't have mayonnaise, what else are we going to be replacing it with, Dave?
butter and taco sauce. It's simple.
Both?
Yes.
Okay.
Are we talking specifically rolls here? Chicken fillet rolls?
Yeah, you have to have a roll.
Deli rolls.
Yeah, because you can cut... I'm not saying you get away without any mayonnaise on a sandwich, but a roll is so much drier.
So dry.
So you need some sort of moisture in there. Okay, so you would replace the mayonnaise with butter and taco sauce. That's what you said?
Taco sauce.
Taco sauce. So what else is there? Is it, actually, I only found out recently that there's cabbage in coleslaw.
Yeah.
What else?
And carrots.
And carrots and onions. Is it the texture of the coleslaw then with the hard vegetables that really... grinds your gears as well? Or what else is it?
Yeah, the textures are all wrong. So mayonnaise is texture. I can actually feel it on my tongue now, and it's making me violently ill. Mixed with some vegetables. It really is a filler food that we have been conditioned into thinking it has supremacy in the deli. And the longer this goes on, this charade, the more people's minds will be infiltrated with coleslaw. Yes. Whereas in fact, if you stand back and study it,
yes,
it really is one of the biggest scams of the 21st century.
Right. It's right up there with QAnon, really. Coleslaw. They're right up there together as conspiracy theorists.
Well, I wouldn't even put them in the same ballpark. You know, what QAnon, what have they done? Whereas coleslaw has traumatized many a nation.
I think I saw a bowl of coleslaw being thrown when the Capitol riots. I'm pretty sure that was the first thing that was thrown at the front line of the attack.
That I didn't see that footage personally myself, but
that's what I heard.
I have no reason to doubt you. The coleslaw might have had something to do with the Capitol riots at the start of this year.
I want to stick with food and also yourself. We're going to move from something you hate, but I want to find out where you got to this, because myself and Nathan were fans of a big storyline on the radio show, and I saw that you managed to track down the voice of Bear from Bear in the Big Blue House, yourself and Fionnuala. But did that all stem from where the hell has Bear in the Big Blue House crisps gone? Is that how it's... Tell me about that story.
I remember the show that we were doing, and it was one of those shows where nothing as exciting has happened. It's not a bad show. It's not a fantastic show. We're just tipping along, and it's coming towards the end of the show, and something came up about treats or things that were off the shelves. It wasn't a specific talking point like... do you remember this? I remember that. It was more natural and organic on the show, as people say. And someone texted about, Bear in the Big Blue House crisps. And I was like, I haven't seen them in ages. I used to adore them. And then Fionnuala did not have a clue about the crisps. So it turned into this thing where people started messaging in droves on WhatsApp, on text, saying, yeah, they exist, 100%, absolutely love them, do you know where you can get them? So then it became a search for these crisps. They don't exist anymore. That's the sad part, and we haven't got to the bottom of why they don't exist anymore. And it trundled along, and I started going into shops and rummaging through the crisps in the likes of Deals and Tesco and Super Value. I went to all of them. There was other people checking out the stock. There was some people that worked in Deals, still currently worked in Deals, and told me, we have them. I'll check tomorrow. Went in, no, we don't have them anymore for some reason, even though I think they haven't been on Irish shelves in years. So this went on and on and on and on and on, and I thought, the natural thing to do is talk to Bear in the Big Blue House. Noel, the voice himself.
Noel.
And that's how it ended up going. He's Noel. Noel McNeil. The most soundest gentleman you could ever meet. But it's so peculiar that this New Yorker puppeteer Bear in the Big Blue House voice is, Noel, how are you getting on, Noel?
Was he easy to find, Noel? How did you get him?
He was. He has... a puppeteer company. He does a podcast. He's on TikTok. He's on Instagram. I thought this would be weeks trying to track him down and sending emails to managers. I think I had a response within 12 hours.
God.
I found an email. I was like, hey, Noel, explained him what we were doing, explained what had happened. He was like, yeah, sure, no problem. Zoom link. I was like, what the fuck? It's like such a contrast. You had the biggest celebrity in Ireland that has been here in years. We had Bear from the Big Blue House, Noel McNeil.
But you know, Bear more impressive.
We like the niche stuff. Yeah. We much prefer the niche stuff. I have a surprise for Nathan.
Oh, please.
Actually, I want to get Nathan's opinion, but also kind of want to get your vibe of this as well, because big moment in my life. I briefly touched upon it in the last episode, in the last 2 or 3 minutes. Dave, I'm moving barbers. This is a big, big move for me.
Oh, yeah.
This is a big move, okay? Moving barbers because I found this guy who just got me. You know what I mean? And look, the Little Big Podcast audience will understand. Suffer from a bit of acne in the old head. So it kind of, I would go in, give him a little bit of a nod, give a point. Everything would be unsaid. And it was a beautiful relationship. He recently moved barbers. And I don't like the place he's gone to. I don't like it.
Yeah, I'm surprised don't like it.
The place he was before, not that I'm, it was more of a gentleman's barbershop. You know, they all wore suits. It was nice smelling. This place, a little bit more casual.
Rough and ready.
I just didn't like the vibe of it, Dave. So I've decided, plus I had to pay for parking when I went there because it's in a different area of town. Don't like that. Last night.
Nathan,
go on, Dave. Sorry.
Sorry.
No,
I was going to have Nathan's opinions first before I jumped in and.
No, jump, please.
With my questions.
Give us your questions.
Please jump in, David.
Were you on first name basis with your previous barber?
Yes.
Did you follow each other on social media?
He follows me, but when I messaged him during the pandemic to see where he had moved to, he kind of gave me a generic response, to which I kind of went into the barber's for the first time it was opened. And he was like, hey, how did you know I was here? And I said, oh, I messaged you. And he goes, oh, yeah, sorry. So I was like, look, I didn't take offense. I'm sure a lot of people were messaging him, because when you went to the original barbershop's website, his name was gone. So I'm sure there was a lot of people who were out there messaging him, going, where are you gone? Where are you gone? Where are you gone?
He also listens to the show?
No. He's into rock music. He prefers Nova.
Fair enough.
He doesn't listen to us. But then he did say when I was in the new place, oh my God, you must give us a shout out. I can't believe we're going to get a shout out. Now, he was raising his voice a little bit.
That's what I liked. You did describe how when you went to visit him in the new place.
Little
listen
bit
to this, Dave. He was a bit different. He was trying to show off in front of his boss.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that, guys? We would all be there.
I'm
We'd all do that.
I'm not begrudging
him. We'd all do that.
He was pretending he was going to listen to the show, even though he knows I've done the show for the last 2 years and he's never once listened. But he was kind of saying, you know, oh, and will you give us a shout out at 9:30 on Spin? I was like, I will, yeah, I will. And knowing full well he wasn't going to do it, but he knew the boss was sitting beside him. What I did last night.
He wanted free advertising.
Yes.
He wasn't going to listen to the show.
Yes.
He was trying to impress his bosses, whereas nearly discarding the previous relationship and the vibe that the two of you had together.
We had a much more chilled vibe, yeah.
He follows you on social media, but what you fail to say there is obviously you don't follow him back.
I do. No, I do.
Oh,
I
Graham.
Do. I do. I do. I do. I do. We follow each other. We do follow each other.
And did he have... Go on, David.
I was going to say, Graham hesitated when he says, when I asked, does he follow you on social media? Oh, we follow each other.
I didn't know if he followed me. That was the thing.
But
because I follow him, and I didn't know if he followed me because he was so weary when I replied to him and he didn't know it was me replying.
Was he good at avoiding spots the last
time? Oh, no,
time?
He was very good and he got it and it was unsaid.
I know where this is going, though.
I'm in with your barber tomorrow.
Oh!
I'm in with Nathan's barber. Now, I don't know. Is this a bit too much, Dave, that I'm going now to Nathan's barber?
It's a bit
barber?
Too incestuous,
you know,
Dave.
What I mean? Even though you have been saying he's a great barber, your hair is 10 times better than mine when we both get a haircut. I'm booked in tomorrow at 11:30. Then we come back here at 12
time.
For the meeting.
Yeah.
But I'm in there. Now, questions I have. For Dave, is this too much? Is this a bit too much that me and Nathan now are also sharing the same barber?
It is peculiar. Would you share the same sexual partner?
We've tried in the past.
Yes.
We have tried in the past.
They ignored me.
And we just made Nathan sit in the corner.
I had to film.
Well, I don't know, is that exactly sharing the same sexual partner, nor sharing the same sexual experience.
We shared a hotel room.
Yeah, I just saw Graham hump, and then I was allowed to keep the video, though.
For how long? Until present day, or...
5 minutes. That's all I needed. I do want to say that I'm concerned because this barber, Dara Hughes, I'll give him a shout out. Heck, he doesn't need one.
Our barber, brother.
Yeah, well, our barber.
Our barber.
There's a lot of pressure now, Dave. I'm scared that Graham is going in there with massive expectations. And what if, for some reason, I don't know, Dara, my boy Dara, our boy Dara isn't feeling it tomorrow.
Well, he'll be feeling the spots on the back of my head because there's a big lumpy one there.
I'm worried that he might take a bit too much off the top because that is a concern for you.
Yeah, well, I'll just tell him not to. Does this barber have ears? Does he listen to what he's asked?
Well, now that you mention it,
he's deaf.
He's fully deaf.
And blind. he just goes for it.
Where do you get your hair done, Dave?
Let's
do you
give him a shout
give
out.
Give a shout out on the podcast.
Notorious Barbers at Lone, DG Cuts. I brought him brownies the last time. That's how in I am with my barber. So if any other co-worker or even co-host was to share a barber with me, personally I would be uncomfortable.
Well, it would become a competition because you're bringing them in brownies. So would it feel like if somebody else was there, would you have to keep on bringing them in stuff to say, well, look, I'm Dave from my radio, don't worry about... Why do I make it going?
You only cut my hair. I don't care if you can't make a living just because I pay you once a month. I don't care. Do you know who I am? You can't cut any more hair. But what about if Graham, you get a fantastic cut, and then Nathan, you get a shit cut, even though Nathan, you were getting the good cuts before Graham came along. Like, this could be the end of the two of you. I'm not trying to overstate this problem here, but I think. Tread with caution, both of
Dave,
you.
Dave, there might be an open spot on a breakfast show in Dublin if you're interested coming soon. I don't know whose spot you'll be taking.
Well, I always said it, guys. The end of our relationship, Graham, would involve a man with scissors. I said it from day one. It's a worry I have.
It is.
Dave, you're an influential man. I was on your Instagram beforehand and I saw that you were sent a mug. So do you get sent a lot of free things?
No, we're in Athlone, lads. Come on. Dublin does not know that Athlone nor outside the M50 exists when it comes to public relations.
Saying that, though, you have probably over double our listenership. iRadio's reach is absolutely huge. You get it from, like, Dublin. Like, obviously, big population, but small county. But when you see the vastness of iRadio... I leave Dublin and in and around Enfield, I'm starting to pick up iRadio, and then I get it to Lewsburg. Basically, three quarters of the width of Ireland. And then you get it down to what? Would you get it to Tipperary? Would you get in Tip? Do you get much in Tip?
North Tip. So the franchise or the coverage, we shouldn't be in Tip, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
but
it
overspills into Tip. So you could have someone listening in... near South Leash all the way to the very tip of Donegal. And it's only when I look at a map or I'm in a different part of the country and I'm like, iRadio is available here and it's available 3.5 hours away to the west. So you could have someone listening in Dundalk or Malinhead or way out as far as you can go out the islands off the west coast of Galway. So it's always mind-blowing when... you look at a map and you go, Jesus Christ, it's actually daunting and scary to think.
Because for a regional station, you're basically national. You're semi-national when you think about it. You're just not hitting Cork and Dublin, really, and everywhere else you've hit, because you're probably getting into Limerick, even though Spin South West is there. But I know you're not being surveyed there with the Jane Lawrence, but you're still getting the radio signal, still getting into those counties. There's not a barrier up there. It's huge.
Understating or underrating iRadio and its coverage,
massive.
I think it's very important for the regions that it broadcasts to, because people, we sound like the people we broadcast to, if that makes sense. So someone in Donegal or Monaghan or Cavan or Louth that would have considered peculiar accents, hopefully, are able to go, there's a fella that doesn't pronounce all his words correctly, that Dave Duke fellow. I might be able to listen to him and not feel like I'm being dictated to or that I live down the country. Because I was told by someone who still works in iRadio, when I was going for the nighttime job, I was told not to go for it because my accent was too thick and I didn't have enough experience. Both of those statements were absolutely true. I just don't think I should have been told that while I was going for a job.
Oh my. Would you be friendly with Ray Shah? Does he do a Sunday show?
Not anymore. He used to. He used to do a Sunday Old School or Old School Eye of a Sunday.
Did you ever meet him?
I did. The most beautiful bald man in the country.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
his head is, Jesus Christ, glorious. Beautiful, beautiful head.
Dave, you're a proud Leitrim man. And to be honest, you don't hear much about Leitrim. And it's a crying shame. So I want you now, on the day today, the 2nd of June, being recorded on a Wednesday, the hospitality sector is starting to open, B&Bs, guest houses, hotels. Sell Leitrim to me. Why should I go on holiday in Leitrim this year, Dave? And this is a big responsibility. As Nathan said earlier on in the podcast, your words carry weight. Let's get people into Leitrim. Why should I go?
Will I get a free Leitrim mug?
Yes,
if
you will.
I plug hard.
Maybe. Okay. Only if it's good.
From north to south, we have got the shortest coastline in Ireland. You cannot get from Sligo to Donegal without passing through Leitrim, unless you go around us. But that'll take 4 extra hours, so don't do that. If you've ever been to Sea Sessions in Bundoran, in County Donegal, you've been in Leitrim.
Have I?
Nathan, I can almost guarantee you have been in Leitrim. Which way did you travel to Bundoran?
Oh, Jesus.
Can you remember?
Didn't you drive?
I drove.
And you were only after getting the car or the license?
Surprised I managed to stay alive on that trip. I drove. Yeah, I must have driven through Leitrim. I'm looking at a map of Ireland.
His geography isn't
My geography
good,
isn't
Dave.
Great, David.
Okay, we'll
go on, Dave.
You're
putting me on the spot, Dave. Go on.
So you have Tullahan, which is in the north of Leitrim. Also, you have Eagles Rock. You have Fowley's Falls, which has turned into a bit of an influencer spot. You've got the Rocks in Rossendver. So from the Rocks in Rossendver, you can... Obviously, you're in Leitrim, but you can see Donegal. You can see Mullach Moor. You can see Sligo, Leitrim and Donegal from one place. Then travel on down. We've got castles. We've got massive lakes. You can't actually drive from the north of Leitrim to the south of Leitrim without passing through another county. There's another stupid fact for you. Unless you take a boat, because we're like an 8-figure. If you look at a map of Leitrim or the outline, we get really tight in the centre like a corset. And there's a lake that comes in there, so you have to go through either Cavan or Roscommon to go from North Leitrim to South Leitrim. We have some of the best stag and hen facilities in the country. We've got a train station. That's one more thing than Donegal has. Hey-o! And we have beautiful branches and trees and sheep and rocks and angry farmers who will shout at you, and you can take photos of them, and then they'll run after you with sticks. Leitrim is a fantastic place, and it's more than just Carrick and Shannon.
I think...
Come on!
I think I had my debs in Carrick. I think so. I was there for New Year's Eve a few years ago, and there was a chipper, and I felt like I was going to be punched. But you'll get that in any country town, especially Westport, where I usually tended to go out. I got hit many a time in Westport. But there was that vibe of a country chipper at 4 a.m. when the nightclub is closed. And it's just, there's a bit of a simmering. There's a simmering, and there's people who are angry because they haven't got the shift. And that's the biggest problem of the night. And there's a simmering, and then you might get a bit of a knock, and you're like, oh, Jesus. And then someone's just looking for a fight. Happens a lot in Westport. I felt the simmering in Carrick. But I think I had my debs there, and one of my friends lost his virginity on the night, which is a great story.
Where?
Which is a great story. In the bed.
Oh, in a bed?
In a bed. Name some of the hotels, Dave, in Carrick. God.
There's the Bush Hotel.
Yes.
Is it the Bush?
I remember. Well, obviously, as a 18, 19-year-old, you remember you're going near the Bush Hotel. Yeah. The Bush Hotel.
Dave. Bush and the Landmark.
Yes, because we stayed in the Bush, but the Debs was in the Landmark across the road, isn't it?
In an odd way, you can walk out the back of the Bush and just walk down towards the Landmark. It's nearly like pedestrianised.
Yes,
Dave, I just googled biggest nightclub in Leitrim. I'm getting Club 360.
Yes, that's also part of the landmark. I'm not sure what the situation is with that, because the last time I heard it was like Nathan Carter that was playing in there. They were trying to do more live events than nightclubs. There's...
Drumcora City?
Oh, Drumcora City. So that is like a Western... style 1960s Texas place, a little while out of Carrigan Shannon, and they do a country and western music festival every year, Cowboys and Heroes, and it's just pure riding about the place.
Can you try and say the name of that venue but in a country accent?
Drumcora City.
What was that?
Not bad.
Go again.
Well, I'll give you Cartown Club. I'll meet you down in Cartown Club.
Dave, you gotta tell me what Cartown nightclub is like, because there used to be busloads of people from Lewisburg and Westport would go to Cartown nightclub, and it was this elusive place that I never ventured to. But it was like, is it kind of this big, massive place in the middle of nowhere, and it's just
a club,
kind of like the Carrick equivalent to the Right Venue. Where it's just this massive place, just landed in the middle of nowhere, and then people just throng to it. Is it still open?
Isn't it? First of all, sorry to disappoint you. I've never been to Cartown.
But are you aware of the legend of Cartown?
Absolutely, I am. It is now no longer open to adults. They prioritize and specialize.
You just find out the hard way.
Yes. Hello, everybody. How are you? Is that a nagin? What are you doing with that? Oh, my God. They specialise in teenage discos and pre-pandemic.
Why do they specialise?
Because money. Because they can take 20 to 25 euro off 1,000 teenagers.
Jesus.
And on one night.
Have to have any bar staff or nothing. Jesus Christ.
And have you been to Ging's online. Bar?
Ging's Bar.
Yeah.
Yes, and Dunn's has possibly the biggest bar to outdoor smoking area ratio in the country. So if you've never been in Dunn's, you go in and it's about 10 square foot. And it's like, here's our bar. And you go, wow, how is everybody here? This place is tiny. And then they have about 17 marquees, gazebos outside, and everybody's just smoking cigarettes
out
both
nose.
Sides of their mouth. There's a DJ up behind the bar, so you can't reach the DJ, because otherwise the DJ will get verbally abused or cigarette butts put out in their eyes.
Oh my.
And then you've load of bars, load of toilets, mayhem.
They foresaw the closure of the bars. They were thinking outdoor before everyone else was thinking outdoor. They're ahead of the game.
That place only exists because of the smoking ban. They said, this smoking ban is fan-fucking-tastic. We're just going to put everyone outside so they can smoke out there, and then everybody will come. And since that, they've went to strength to strength to strength. It's a fantastic venue. Like, the amount of shifting that gets done in that place, and I have partaken in that many years ago.
No!
And I quite enjoyed getting the shift. Yes, yes, much shifting.
Do you DJ?
Yeah. I haven't twiddled a knob since the 29th of February 2020.
And would you drink while you're doing it?
Yes.
Yeah,
sometimes.
That was a solid yes.
Well, what are the thoughts? Because Graham, you also DJ.
Rarely.
Your alter ego is DJ Quench. Do you have a DJ name, Dave?
No, I just go as Mr. Dave Duke, or DJ Dave Duke. I don't know why I'd call myself Mr. if I was the DJ. You're the DJ? No, I'm the Mr.
So how much would you drink before you'd go on?
It has toned down a lot. So I was given a residency in Bundoran in a place called Jumpin' Jacks. And Dustin the Turkey was actually a big fan of Jumpin' Jacks, would you believe? And the deal was, here's some payment, but you've got a free bar every single weekend. Oh. I was like, oh, that's lovely. The first night, I won't take the piss. Couple of bottle of Bulmers, please. Yeah, perfect. Then the next week, I was like, four bottles of Heineken, please. Yeah, no problem. Yeah, free bar, Dave. You are the DJ. And then I started taking the absolute pace. And I got wrote off one night. It was disgraceful.
Anything bad happen?
Well, here's the thing. What really put me off heavy drinking while DJing was a woman came up to me in the shop the next day or a couple of days after. Saturday was unreal. Jesus, the place was packed. Oh, it was class. You must give me a CD or a playlist of your tunes. Couldn't fucking know what happened. Not a notion who was in there. So since that, I'll have a few drinks, but I won't get over the top mildy till the job is done.
You do get on the mic, do you start screaming to the crowd? What's your demeanour like?
Quiet at the start, and then by the end, since I'm body conscious, I don't take off my top. But the only reason that I've got into exercising and managing my physique is that I can take my top off in a nightclub at the end of the night at about 3 o'clock in the morning.
It's coming soon. It's coming soon.
Yeah, it is. Like
soon to Jumpin' Jacks in Bundoran soon.
Jump Jacks, my favourite place in the world to DJ is Na Dúnamh, Downings in County Donegal. I think anyone that listens to the show is probably sick of me talking about Downings because I have this fascination with this tiny little nightclub that packs in 700, 800 people of a summer's night, and you can physically see the sweat running down the walls. So when I get back there, I know that we're back to normal and hopefully I'll be able to take my top off and expose my hairy nipples.
Dave, I just want to ask, you said earlier on that you met us at a press junket for Niall Horan. Do you enjoy interviewing celebrities?
Oh, that's a good question. I do and I don't. The likes of Niall Horan, yeah, absolutely, because he's a gentleman and you can have fun with him. But there are some celebrities where you come away from the interview and you're like, what the fuck was that about? What are we going to do with this audio? How do we condense this 10 minutes into something legible that we can put out on air? And there are times, and there are celebrities, and you look at them on social media and they have millions of followers. Millions. And you've talked to them and you come away completely underwhelmed. But you can't go on air and go, well, they were an absolute prick, everybody. You just have to work with what you've got. So yes and no, a very roundabout answer to your question.
Yeah, I think I have this thing in my head. We've actually been lucky. Yeah. I can think of one interview in the last year that went pretty shit. You know the one?
No.
There was more than one, we'll say.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, can we not say?
No, don't say. But we've been lucky enough. But in my head, I always think the worst. I don't know why. I have this thing in my
head. You don't really like interviews.
I don't like interviews, to be honest. Like, I would rather, as I was saying today, we had a beekeeper on the show yesterday, just randomly talking about bees because we felt that bees get a bad rap or bad rep. And I'd rather talk to somebody like that than talk to somebody about their new single, because they're not really interested. And sure, you've heard it all before. Whereas if someone's coming on telling us about bees, and did you know that while the bees are protecting the queen, you can actually pick up a hive with your hands because they're not interested in protecting themselves. Their only interest is protecting the queen so they won't sting you. That's much more interesting than where you got the lyrics for our new song.
I think your worry with interviews, Graham, is you feel like they don't want to be there.
Yes, and I would be correct.
Worry. That is the worry, that you're like, oh shit, we're wasting their time. It's a weird atmosphere. They don't want to be here. I don't want to waste their time.
Yeah.
Let's speak to Connor, the beekeeper, who's chomping at the bit to be asked questions.
Yeah. I actually think that's bang on. Yeah, I'd rather talk to somebody who wants to talk to us. That's why the Matt Damon thing works so well, because Matt Damon actually phoned in and wanted to talk to us. Whereas if we plagued him and plagued him and plagued him and plagued him, it wouldn't have been as good because it would have been less natural, where it was more natural. Whereas if we interview an artist who has a new album, who were the 30th person they've interviewed today, and it's on a Zoom call and they're in their room and they're kind of sick of being asked the same questions, it's just not as enjoyable for me.
I agree.
Dave, what's on the show today? Come on now. Have you got
I don't have a fucking clue. Can I make one point on about being liked, interviewed and selling something? I get very frustrated at the comparisons made between the Late Late Show and the Tommy Tiernan Show.
Oh.
I think Tuberty gets a bad rap.
Yes.
Because you must understand that on the Late Late Show, 9 times out of 10, 99 times out of 100, unless it's for charity. The celebs are there to sell you something.
Mm.
And that's all they give a shit about. Whereas the Tommy Tiernan show, people are coming there to open up and talk. They're two completely different things. And it frustrates me every time. And I look at the genius of Tommy Tiernan, and that actually started, that show started on radio. So that shows the beauty of radio and the industry that we're in. Don't undermine us. But please stop making those comparisons.
It's like, oh, give Tommy Tiernan the Late Late Show. No, because then that's just the Tommy Tiernan show.
You ruin him.
Over three hours.
Can you imagine Tommy Tiernan doing the sales for Renault or for a competition? We've got a lovely hamper now. You take the essence away of Tommy Tiernan.
Yeah.
Oh, it's such a difficult show, The Late Late Show.
I wouldn't want it.
I remember watching...
Not that I'll ever get it, but I wouldn't want it.
Ryan Tuberty interviewed Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill.
Oh, God.
For, I think it was 21 Jump Street. Yeah, yeah. It was a really horrible interview, but Jonah Hill was acting like a bit of a dick, in fairness. But then they do the interview, and then Ryan Tuberty's like, right, on the way next, we're going to be chatting to a woman who sees angels. And you're just like, there's no segue... They're very different broadcasters. I think just the Tommy Tiernan show is so good. Everyone loves that show. But you're right, Dave. You can't compare the two.
And it annoys me so much about people complaining about The Late Late Show and Ryan Tuberty. First of all, I think Ryan Tuberty's a fantastic broadcaster, both on radio and television. And he proved it during the pandemic. But also, you don't understand how hard that job is.
It's live.
It's 3 hours of live radio. You see all the millions and millions and millions of dollars that are pumped into late night TV in America. And that's all pre-recorded. That's pre-recorded.
And it's shit.
Ryan Tuberty, granted, you might turn on, you might go, oh, it's a bit boring or a bit too depressing for a Friday night. But it's a fucking tough job of 3 hours of, or no, was it 2 hours of live television every single Friday night. And every guest changes on the quarter. It's so,
and he doesn't
so
have
difficult.
The segments like Carpool Karaoke or stuff that Jimmy Fallon does. It's relying on just
interviews.
Dave,
we're getting looked in the window here from a person who needs to pre-record, so we got to wrap it up. Nathan,
just
yes?
Before we go, Dave, I'd love to know, how do you see your future? What's the dream? Are you living it right now, or do you have things, would you love to get into TV? Tell us.
I would. My primarily medium and the love is there for radio. To make radio the best it can be and the overall radio industry fight for it. That's it's a bit arty, farty, wankery, but to show the power of radio and hopefully to convince more people to invest in radio, because we're going to need investment in years to come. We're fighting against Spotify, Netflix, the whole shebang. But if you actually look at what we're doing well in the radio industry, my God, it's phenomenal. Like, and I want to say this, and I know it's been said to you before, but that Matt Damon interview done a phenomenal amount for the radio industry, and you got your awards for it, but there really should have been a speech about why it was so important and how much it showed. This is what radio can be. It can be a story, it can be a moment, it can be instantaneous, it can be over weeks. But that beauty would have been... You can't do what ye done with that on TV. You can't do that on Netflix or Spotify. It just doesn't work. But when you have an audience, when you have a community of people that buy into radio presenters or shows or stations, that is a beautiful thing. Like to know or sit in traffic and look across the person across from you and go, oh, they're listening to what I'm listening to. They're enjoying the same moment or they're getting annoyed at the same topic. That's class. So that I would love to be garnering or gathering the likes of you and the creative people in the industry of Ireland to sit down together and go, how do we make radio even better and convince even more people to appreciate the power of radio? So that's, as part of a personal career, I'm happy where I am. I love the show. I love the community that we've built on iRadio. I've adored iRadio from the very first day. And I know you're running out of time, but this is how I can show how much I love iRadio. I don't know my father, and my mother told me on a specific corner coming home from school who my father was one day. That same day, iRadio launched. I remember who I was listening to on iRadio, but I don't remember my father's name, and I've never went looking for him since. Wow. So that's how much iRadio means to me, and that's why I love what I'm doing and love the job I'm in.
It's so great to hear people who are doing the job they love. And we've said it before in the podcast, you're doing a fantastic job on iRadio. Keep flying the creative flag in radio, because people are listening and they're taking note. Dave, thank you so much for joining us on the Little Big Podcast. We really appreciate it, Dave.
Lads.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
I love this, and I love the two of you, and keep doing what you're doing. Don't let the bastards get you down.
Those bastards!
Love you, Dave!
They try and pull you down, boys, but you're too good for that. You're too good.
Dave, we gotta go. People, try to get in. Good luck. Thank you very much, buddy.
Love
Cheers.
Bye.
Cut my life into pieces. This is my last resort. Suffocation.